Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the host or guest of the following program may not be those of the staff or management of World Media Ministries or Christ the King Radio.
Good morning, good day, good evening. You tuned in to Let's Talk Business and the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek Kevin Cullis, owner of MainStreetPreneur.com and author of How to Start a Business Mag Version. We're broadcasting from Christ the King World Radio, and you can find us at worldmediaministries.org. How y'all doing, folks? We're starting you up. That's what the music comes from, the Rolling Stones. We're start you up. So we're trying to get you to start your own business and to start with the ideas that God has given you and to make it happen. Today, we're going to go over Mark 8:36 for our scripture regarding business. And Mark 8:36 says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" Now, for those of us who are Christians, the idea being is that the world is Satan's domain. So if you gain the whole world, i.e. Satan's domain, what is that to you? You actually are siding with Satan rather than with God. And you read the story when Jesus was being tempted. Satan took Jesus up to the top of the world and said, "I'll give you all this if you worship me." And so in essence, that's what he's saying there. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world? What good is it if you're in business and you gain the whole world? Nothing. Because as Christians, we serve God and we use our business to serve God. Okay, so today, had an interesting conversation with a lady who was actually reading my next book, Bible Secrets for Startups and Entrepreneurs. She gave me a critique about it, and she actually gave me some information. And one of the interesting pieces of information is in Acts chapter 16, 14 through 15, regarding Lydia. But before I get to that, because that'll be toward the end here, let's finish up what we talked about last week. Last week, we were talking about the six steps of how you go from God to who you are and your purpose in life. And the six steps are, the first one is God creates, meaning he's the source of creation. And he creates, so therefore he creates you. And the second step is he created you, which means that you, because of who you are, your uniqueness, that creation, you, who God created, there's a reason why you're here. And one of the simplest things is if you have a singing voice, guess what? You're supposed to sing. Almost everybody can make a peanut butter jelly sandwich, so make a peanut butter jelly sandwich if the need arises. But God gave you unique skills and talents, that you're supposed to use. So God creates is number one. Number two, God created you for a specific reason. And the third one is God created you for worship and to create work. And it's interesting, the Hebrew word avodah is literally the root word is both worship and work. And you see that in Exodus 34:21 says, Moses renewing the covenant with God says, 6 days you shall work, avodah. Work is also in worship. Exodus 8:1, this is what the Lord says, "Let my people go so they may worship me." So work and worship have a very similar connotation. The idea, again, is that when you apply your talents and skills and spiritual gift to the marketplace, you are actually giving God glory. Because he has created you to do that, you are giving God glory by doing what you're supposed to do. So 1, 2, and 3, number 4, God created you for worship and to create work and to serve others. So in other words, we have you, then why are you here, i.e. to do work? That's number 3. Number 4 is you are to serve others. God created you to worship and to create work, i.e. come up with new ideas for new products and services, and then to serve others. You are supposed to serve others with your gifts and your talents. It's not for yourself. You know, when God says, and Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, you look at a person as an equal, not necessarily equal in talents, but equal meaning you look at them as you would look at yourself. So when you create your work, you're actually to serve others. And I went into it briefly about grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. Most people, including myself, when you see grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit, that is me not doing that, as, you know, keeping the Holy Spirit out of my life, but realize that also that means keeping people out of what God wants them to do. In other words, I'm restricting others from what God wants them to do. And so we're going into number 5 and number 6, and that's what we're going to cover a little bit today here. Number 5 is God created you for worship and to create work and to serve others and to prosper. And that's a rather interesting approach to it, because in John 1:2, beloved, I pray that in all aspects, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and may be in good health, just as your soul prospers. That's 3 John 1:2. So notice what he says. I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. So in essence, what John is saying in 3 John 1:2 is that when your mind is prospering, when your mind and your decision-making is prospering, then your health prospers because you're able to make good decisions. Then when your health prospers, then the outside of you prospers. All those people around you prosper. So when you look at what you are and who you are, when you understand those things that you are very good at, when you try something that you've never tried before and find out you're good at it, when you understand who you are, and then you find somebody that needs your help in that, that's when you prosper, because now you're actually serving somebody with what you do and how you do it. There's two websites that I'd recommend going visit because the friends are recommending them, is lancewalnow.com, and I'll spell that for you. It's LanceWallnau.com. And then there's Prosperous Soul. That's ProsperousSoul.com. Those two sites help you with understanding prosperity. Now, understand there's two extremes that God does not want us to focus on: poverty and the prosperity gospel. Prosperous is right in the middle, meaning that we are supposed to be prosperous. We are to be prosperous. Prosperous means that we're supposed to apply all our skills and talents to serve somebody else to their benefit. When they get the benefit of our experience, times, and talents, then we are supposed to be remunerated, paid for, given testimonials for. We're supposed to get something from helping something else. Now, agreeably, when it comes to doing work, you're supposed to be paid for what you do, but part of that is what the next step is. The next step is the 6th step, and that is God created you for worship and to create work and to serve others and to prosper and to share. Now, prospering, step 5, God created you for worship and to create work and to serve others and prosper. That's step number 5, and prosper. When you prosper, you should be earning more than enough so that you're able to not only take care of yourself, but you're able to, in the next step, 6, is to share. If you're not earning enough to take care of yourself, then you need to concentrate on that. Concentrate on building up your skill set. Concentrate building up your talent. Get more experience. Do all the things that are necessary so that you become more productive and provide value to those that are paying you, whether that's in a job or that you're starting your own business. The issue is you need to add more and more value to who you are, as well as to the company that you're dealing with or the person you're dealing with. It's always, always, always in the context of you need to be of higher value person so you can provide higher value, which means you earn higher value. And when you earn higher value, that means in step five, when you earn higher value income, etc., that's when you move to step number six, that you're supposed to, God created you for worship and to create work and to serve others and prosper and to share. If you don't earn enough, you can't share. So the idea being is that you need to earn enough so that you can share with others. Now, can you share when you're earning $40,000? Yes. Can you share when you're earning $20,000? Yes. You're always sharing, but the point being is that in sharing is that you earn enough, and that's where this show is trying to focus on, is getting people to get out of a poverty mindset, get out of focusing on themselves, what can I get, and say, what can I earn? What can I do for somebody? How can I earn more, provide more service to somebody else, as well as how many people can I serve and how many can I take care of? So when you have that prosperity mindset, not prosperity gospel, prosperity mindset means I am to earn as much money as I can so that I can serve. And so that's where the point number six is, that you can share. And in 1 Timothy 6:17 through 18, it says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, and to be ready to share. You are listening to Let's Talk Business in the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek Kevin Cullis, owner of MainStreetPreneur.com and author of How to Start a Business Mac Version. We're broadcasting from Christ the King World Radio, and you'll find us at worldmediaministries.org, and we'll be back with this after a moment.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. If you're in the Denver metro area and you need internet, get it now for $1 a day. No bundles, no hassles, and only a 12-month contract. For more information, call World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, that is 720-275-1355.
Portions of our broadcast day are made possible by GECS, Corporate Identity, Custom Graphics, and Website Design. For more information, visit their website at www.gecs-us.com. Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
All right, we're back. You're tuned in to Let's Talk Business in the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek Kevin Cullis, owner of MainStreetPreneur.com and author of How to Start a Business Mac Version. We're broadcasting from Christ the King World Radio, and you'll find us at worldmediaministries.org. Okay, after the previous segment, I was going over 1 Timothy 6:17 through 18. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. And when you stop up and think about when you're sharing, okay, notice what he says here. But don't fix your hope on the uncertainty of riches. Focus on God. Okay, God is the source of riches. And it says, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. That's prosperity. Prosperity means you enjoy your life and those that are around you enjoy being with you. God provides that to you, and it's up to you to learn to be prosperous, to learn to get out of a poverty mindset and get out of I'm always broke, to changing your mindset to say, how can I find opportunity to serve others? Because the more people you serve, the higher value you serve, the more money you make, which means you're able to share. And so he says, and Timothy says, instruct them to do good and to be rich in good works and to be generous and ready to share. If you don't earn enough, you can't share enough. Now, there's nothing wrong with earning $25,000, $30,000, $40,000. But here's the interesting thing. I had a conversation with my wife, and I asked her one day, I said, what would you do with, you know, $100,000? And her first thought, well, I'd go on a vacation. I'd do this and this and this. And I said, okay. I said, and I backed it off. I said, what would you do if you were in $40,000? Well, that's fine. I'd be doing this. But when she went over above the $100,000, she said, oh, I'm going to take a vacation, this, this, this. And I realized her mental thermostat, financial thermostat setting was only at $50,000, not at $100,000. So in the discussion, I began to get her to see that it's not earning $50,000 or $100,000 as it is, how many people can I serve with $50,000? How many people can I serve $100,000? How many people can I serve with $200,000? How many people can I serve with $1 million? There's nothing wrong with earning $1 million. But here will be the question in terms of sharing. If you had earning $5 million and you bought $1 million home, what's that $1 million home doing? Just sitting there. Nothing wrong with it, but why not take and downsize from $1 million home down to $250,000 and then take that extra $750,000 and go hire more people? Why not hire more people that are struggling that would like to have an increase from $10 an hour to $15 an hour? That's from $20,000 a year to $30,000 a year. How much happier would they be if they had more income? So the idea behind sharing is there's nothing wrong with being prosperous. We should be prosperous, but we should also be a blessing to others. All right, how many people could you be able to serve overseas with that extra $750,000? How many Kiva projects could you donate money to microloans, to people overseas? Yeah, you can sit there and have $1 million home, but How much of an impact would you have with somebody overseas by buying, you know, chickens and goats to be able to improve their lives? And here's the other question. While you may think a $1 million home look good to everybody around you, when you're helping somebody in a third world country, imagine what blessings you are, as well as how they will thank God for what you've donated and what you've provided them. Can you imagine how many prayers of thanksgiving you will get by able to share with others rather than having $1 million home or $2 million home, actually taking that and sharing with others? How much of a blessing you to other people? Again, there's nothing wrong with prosperity. Prosperity, I'm going to hit on that all the time because I want people to get out of this poverty mindset and into a prosperity mindset, not a prosperity gospel. Again, that's the extreme. That's a negative. It's basically saying God is my genie. Sorry, God is not your genie. It says here in Timothy, but God who is richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. But he's also saying instruct them to do good, to be rich in good work, to be generous and to ready to share. If you don't earn enough, you're not ready to share. So that's the idea about the 6 points here. And go into one more little comment here. Sharing is not only for those that have money to give to those that have less or nothing, but it's also the poor that give thanks to help the poor. When the poor person is helped, they give thanks to God for that help. That becomes your testimonial to God. God recognizes that. It becomes a memorial to God, because when God blesses you and you bless somebody else, that thanksgiving goes back up to God, and that honors Him. That means you've done the good work. Okay? So testimonials, I focus on that because God wants to hear the testimonials from us on how thankful we are for what He's done for us. He wants to hear that. Guess what? So do my friends and family. They want to hear how good I've done. And guess what? I want to hear how good I've done. When you give a testimonial saying thank you to somebody and you tell them how good they are, do you not think that that encourages them to do more and to do better? I don't know how many Christians I've come across. They're curmudgeons. They literally go, I'm not going to tell them how good they are because then they'll take advantage of me. Or where does that come from? Love is prosperous. It's hate that is stingy. When you give somebody a testimonial, how good they are with what they do, and again, if they don't go to a good job, then they need to improve it agreeably. But the idea is that when you're prosperous and you share, especially from a testimonial, when you tell somebody how good they are, that encourages them. And then when you give a testimonial like a book review, or you go online and you tell them how good they are at what they've done for you, you're not only giving a testimony to them, but you're also giving a testimonial to God. You're telling them that God has given them the talent to do good with what they've done, and they've done good. And when you thank God for who they are and what they've done, that also pleases God. So see how everything is elevating everybody up? When you love somebody else, it's a matter of encouraging them, edifying them, so that it builds them up over time. Oh, so we make mistakes. Oh, so what? We move on. So the number 6 point is God created you for worship and to create work and to serve others and to prosper and to share. Our main purpose is to be able to earn enough so that we can share enough. I think I've mentioned in a previous show that a lady I know who's a multimillionaire talked about on her place that she bought a $5,000 purse. And all the religious people said, how dare you spend that money? Now, there's nothing wrong with spending money because she spent 30% of her income helping an orphanage. But yet the religious people saying, you can't be prosperous. No, out of the poverty mindset into the prosperity mindset, not all the way to the level of prosperity gospel where you see God as this powerful genie that you can tell him to do whatever you want to do. No, God is an angel investor. He will invest only when you please him and in the area that he wants to go. So we're going to take a break here, but we're on the other side of the break here. We're going to get into Lydia, and this sort of segues right into it when it comes to serving others and being prosperous and what it means to be prosperous in the context of how God orchestrates things. So that things work out for the better. When it comes to prosperity, it starts with God. I'll go over the 6 points again. God creates. Point number 2, God created you to work and to worship. Number 3, God created you for worship and to create work. Number 4, God created you for worship, to create work, and to serve others. Number 5, God created you for worship and to create work and to serve others and prosper. And number 6, God created you for worship and to create work and to serve others and prosper and to share. That's the steps that it takes to going overview of what God does for us. So now, when we come back from the break here, we're going to talk about Lydia and go into detail. Lydia was actually a very well-to-do business person. Very well-to-do business person. And the interesting thing about her is that she was, according to Acts chapter 16, 14 through 15, she was a seller of purple fabrics. And you have to understand that purple during that time frame was like sort of the Apple, the Nordstrom's, the Tiffany's. That's what she was. She was a seller of purple fabrics. And the reason why she was so well-to-do, and she was considered a widow probably, but she had a whole household that she was doing business in Philippi with, and she ended up meeting Paul. But when you understand that what her business was to create the purple dye to create the purple clothing and cloths was very expensive, and only the upper crust of the Roman society was able to afford it. So that's what we're going to get into after the break here. So you've tuned in to Let's Talk Business in the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek Kevin Cullis, owner of MainStreetPreneur.com and author of How to Start a Business Mac Version. We're broadcasting from Christ the King World Radio, and you can find us at worldmediaministries.org. And on the return back, we're going to sort of integrate the 6 points that I've talked about originally today or earlier today, and we're going to sort of pull it into regarding Lydia and what she was as a seller of purple fabrics and how those six steps there actually show in Acts chapter 16 with Lydia. So also, when it comes to my show, well, after we get done with the break, I'll come back and let you know that you can contact me if you have any questions that I can be able to help you out. So we'll be coming back after these breaks, and we'll talk more about Lydia. And let's talk business.
Christ the King Radio is the internet broadcast outreach ministry of World Media Ministries, a 501c3 corporation, and Christ the King Radio Ministries. The goal of Christ the King Radio is to follow the command found in Mark 16:15 to go into all the world, preaching the good news to everyone, everywhere. Not just teaching about the power, glory, and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also to provide positive, encouraging information on how to promote and maintain healthy interpersonal relationships and business practices. At this time, Christ the King Radio needs not only your prayers, but your financial support. To help us continue to bring the light unto a dark world, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on either of our website, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. Your tax-deductible gift, no matter how small, will go a long way in helping us to continue to reach God's people and to promote the kingdom of God here on earth. Your gift is tax deductible, and you will receive an electronic receipt when you donate via the links on one of our websites, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. On behalf of the staff and management, thanks again for listening to and supporting Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. Beat the high costs of other international money transfer services. In the Denver metro area, call World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, that is 720-275-1355.
bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the host or guest of the following program may not be those of the staff or management of World Media Ministries or Christ the King Radio.
All right, we're back. You tuned in to Let's Talk Business in the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek Kevin Cullis, owner of MainStreetPreneur.com and author of How to Start a Business Mac Version. We're broadcasting from Christ the King World Radio, and you can find us at worldmediaministries.org. Okay, we're going to start you up again. We're going to talk a little bit about the Bible. And the reason why we go into the Bible is to find out what we can learn from the Bible and then apply it to our lives out here in real life. So when we talk about Acts 16, 14 through 15, it says, "And a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, 'If you had judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." Now, here's the interesting thing is when you go back into that first century, Lydia was a seller of purple. Basically, in order to get the purple dye, they had to get a shellfish, take the shellfish and get to a little the little chemical or whatever it is from the shellfish in order to create it. So that's why it was so expensive. And that's why she was well-to-do. Now, she may not be the rich as the rich, but she was well-to-do. And not only well-to-do in terms of becoming a seller of the purple fabric, but also in the sense of that she brought her whole household with her to Philippi. Now, where she was from was over in Western Turkey. Okay, and that's where you have the city of Thyatira. That's in Western Turkey, what is today Western Turkey. And she traveled over to Philippi, which is over in Eastern Greece. And what is interesting about Eastern Greece is that in Philippi, you literally had, it was sort of like, a place of commerce. But it was also the fact that the Dyer's Guild was, how can I say this? Guilds were of a number, sort of like associations, where you had a number of different areas that of talents. We think of like today would be the music industry. We talk about the restaurant industry. Well, in Thyatira, where Lydia was, they had a number of guilds, and it was sort of a place where commerce was heavy. Okay, and in fact, in the city that she lived in, there was an inscription that commemorates the Dyer's Guild. In other words, how well they worked in her city. So when you're in a guild city or in a city with multiple guilds or industries, okay, because you create something, you also have to go sell it. So she ended up going over to Philippi. Now, here's the interesting thing about this story with her is that she's in her guild, in where her industry is sort of like having where all of the car sale car lots are, sort of having where all there, and they got to go out. Okay, so she literally has to travel to Philippi to try and sell her wares. She's a merchant. She's got to go make some money. So where is she going to go? From where she was, which is a city which has lots of craftsmen, now she's going to Philippi to be able to sell her wares. And notice what it says, that she was a worshiper of God, which as a very prosperous woman, and here's the end of it, she's a woman. That means, ladies, if you have the capability to go into business for yourself, do it. Now, understand that you need to be thoughtful about what you do. But if you have the capability to be in business, and from my standpoint, everybody needs to be in business for themselves. You are in business for yourself. If you have the capability to go into business, I don't care who, what age you are, what gender you are, whoever you are, everybody can go in business for themselves. The issue is to have opportunity eyes. But getting to Lydia, Lydia left from Western Turkey to go to Philippi. Now, when you look at it, she goes there to do business. But what happens with Paul? When you read earlier, what happens with Paul? Paul basically was trying to go another direction, and he gets a vision from a man in Macedonia, which is where Philippi is, and he says, hey, we need some help. And he says, okay, I guess Paul says, I'm going there. But notice in the context of Acts 16 that Paul is invited by a man in a vision saying, we need help. But guess what? Paul doesn't go there and meet him, or at least the text doesn't show it or tell it. He meets Lydia. So see how God orchestrates things. The orchestration is that a man called for Paul to help them out, but he meets Lydia. You would think that when if I'm praying for somebody to help me, that somebody, that person would come help me. In reality is somebody else is coming to help. Now, could he be paying for Lydia? Don't know. Doesn't say. But regardless of it, the text indicates that a man is praying for Paul to come help, but Paul ends up, in the Bible, talks about saving Lydia. Now, here's the interesting thing. It says, and when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us. In other words, not only did she influence or did she listen to what Paul had to say, because she was, it says in verse 14, a worshiper of our God was listening, all right? She was attending a place of prayer, so she was already a worshiper of God. She just needed the message of what Christ gives and what Paul was giving. But when you look at how God orchestrates it, he basically is saying, Paul says, I'm going to Philippi. I'm going to meet where these women are at a place of worship. And notice it's a women that are around her, okay? And so she's not only does Lydia not become only become a Christian then, but she actually convinces her whole household of the same thing. Or she has Paul talk to the whole household, and they become Christians at the same time. But imagine going forward what that is going to be. Here's a very successful businesswoman. Her whole household, because of her, becomes a Christian, and they in turn go back to her city in Western Turkey. What do you think happens with that? She go back because of her standing in business and because she becomes a Christian. What do you think her daily living is going to be like? What kind of impact do you think is she going to have becoming a Christian? Even though she was a worshiper of God beforehand, now she becomes even stronger at it. What do you think her impact is going to be, not only as a Christian, but also as a successful businesswoman, a single woman, indicates that she was probably a widow. Okay. What do you think is going to be her influence back at her home city? A successful businesswoman becomes a Christian in her home city. How would you think that is going to play out? How do you think this successful businesswoman is going to impact and influence those that are around her, not only in her business? She's going back now from the city of Philippi back to her home city, where there are multiple guilds that are there. Multiple guild, multiple industries. You know, it's like Silicon Valley in California, wines over in California. you know, all those types of things, like in California or here in Colorado, we have the high tech area in Boulder. We got up and down the Front Range here that is startup industry related. Imagine her taking her successful business and now her newfound faith or improved faith, however you want to say it. And now she's going back to her home city where she will be able to influence all the other guilds. So now what has happened, and a lot of what you talked about earlier about sharing, when we share with others, it's not only sharing our wealth, it's sharing our experience, but it's also sharing Christ. So now she's going back to all those guilds back in her hometown, and now she's going to go back and influence them in their lives and in their business. Maybe she was doing good as a successful business, but maybe she finds that she's now can even do a better job of serving others. So can you see how this one woman becomes a Christian and she's successful to begin with? And imagine how becoming a Christian changes her aspects, her mindsets going forward, so that she now becomes a better influence to others. So that's how, when you think of a business, is it's not about earning money, although it's important that you do earn money. It's also about who am I able to influence with what I have. She's a strong businesswoman. She's now got her connections back in Western Turkey. She's going to go influence them. So that's how, when you think about sharing is also influencing others. It's also influencing for the good. You know, we read 1 Timothy 6:17-18. The God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share. Now she's going to take her what she learned from Paul and go back to her hometown and now begin to share with others. Not only share with what she has earned, but also to share Christ with others, not only in her household, but also in her network, in her connections that she deals with on a regular basis. And understand, it's not an elevation of herself per se, but saying, how can I help others? How can I share with others so that they can have the influence of what Christ has done for me? So when you become successful in your business, when you get out of the poverty and into prosperity, this is the point of how many people you're able to influence and how many people that you can share not only your life with Christ, but you can share Christ with others, as well as you're able to influence their lives in a positive manner. We're going to take a short break here. You tuned in to Let's Talk Business in the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek Kevin Cullis, owner of MainStreetPreneur.com and author of How to Start a Business Mac Version. We're broadcasting from Christ the King World Radio, and you'll find us at worldmediaministries.org. So, we're going to come back on these breaks and continue on with the story.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. Do you need reliable international long distance that starts at only 1 cent per minute? Then call us at World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, call us at 720-275-1355.
Portions of our broadcast day are made possible by GECS, Corporate Identity, Custom Graphics, and Website Design. For more information, visit their website at www.gecs-us.com. Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
All right, we're starting you up. Hey, how you doing there, guys and gals and men and women and kids? You tuned into Let's Talk Business in the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek Kevin Cullis, owner of MainStreetPreneur.com and author of How to Start a Business Mac Version. We're broadcasting from Christ the King World Radio, and you can find us worldmediaministries.org. Now, we're talking about Lydia in Philippi meeting Paul. She becomes a Christian, and while she's staying there in Philippi, right, she's going to have to go back to her hometown. But here's the interesting thing I want you to hear from this story from Lydia. And I take it from a Jewish rabbi. It's actually from Rabbi Lapin's book, Thou Shalt Prosper. And he quotes it, and I quote it for him here. One of the ancient Jewish sages, Ben Zoma, once found himself in a crowd of people. Some around him were probably complaining and being jostled by the masses. Ben Zoma laughed joyously and said, "Blessed is the Creator who has created all these people to serve me. Think what Adam had to endure before he could eat bread. He plowed, he planted seed, he reaped, and he bound the sheaves. He threshed and winnowed, he ground the ears, and he sifted the flour. He then kneaded and baked, and then at last he ate. Whereas I get up every morning and find all these things done for me." That is what you think about when you think of Lydia, is she was a seller of purple fabrics, meaning she provided a service. It was just one thing. She wasn't a baker of bread. She wasn't a wine merchant, but she actually sold the purple fabrics. And in most cases, when it comes to the purple fabrics, those that bought the purple fabrics were actually the senators, the politicians of the day. They had a specific way that they actually created and wore the purple. Now, there was purple fabric for sure, but the senators actually had to use the purple as a way of identifying who they were in the marketplace. So when you think about Lydia, okay, you think about what she is able to do and how her influence is going to be going back into her, moving from Philippi, where she was doing business, okay? It may have been one of those types where a business where she literally was there for a number of months to deal with merchants, you know, and then she'd go back to her home city where the Dyer's Guild was, and then she'd go create more fabric, okay? It was a manufacturing perspective. Oh, create more fabric, dye it up, then we take it on a boat and on wagons to go to Philippi to sell it. So, from that standpoint, you think about she was one piece in the business puzzle. But she was one piece in the business puzzle, but she also had influence. Because she was a seller of purple fabric, she actually made a very good living from it. So when you think about your business, don't initially you're probably saying, "I need to earn money." Absolutely. Everybody needs to earn money to pay for what they're doing. But it's bigger than just yourself. It's bigger than just your talents and skills. It's also about who you are and who you influence. It's not just about what you get for yourself. So when you think about it, you also have to think about a guy named Aquila and Priscilla in Acts 18. Aquila and Priscilla, Acts 18, 2 through 3 says, "And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he treated with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers." Interesting. Now we talked about Lydia being a single woman. Now we get into a husband-wife team. And Paul meets them, and he meets them and strikes up a conversation with them. Actually, not striking up a conversation, because he actually walks up to them. And what do you think is around them? They're both in the tent-making business, just like Paul is. So don't, when you walk up to somebody, don't you have a conversation with somebody and you say, "Hey, oh, I see you got," like, for instance, you're a car nut, you know, a Chevy or a Ford Mustang. You walk up, hey, I got a Ford Mustang. Oh, I got a Ford Mustang. You start talking about Ford Mustangs. So imagine Paul having his own business, being tent making, walking up to Priscilla and Aquila and seeing that they are tent makers too. Doesn't that provide you the opportunity to strike up a conversation about what you do? And oh, by the way, doesn't it give you an opportunity to share the gospel with them? So when you think about it, Paul walks up to a husband and wife team. Now, I know some husbands and wives, they don't work together very well. But if you know your spouse better than they do sometimes, you work together. So here is a husband and wife in business together. So that's what I want you to see, is that it doesn't matter who you are. You can always do business. So Aquila and Priscilla become very prominent in scriptures. They're mentioned a number of times. They're mentioned in 1 Corinthians 16, 19, Romans 16, 3 through 5, and in 2 Timothy 4, 19. They became very well connected and became good friends with Paul, all because of their similar business, tent makers. And so Paul was able to stay with them and be with them. In fact, later on, you'll actually read the other scriptures and you'll find out that even though her name was Priscilla, he actually shortens her name, sort of like going from Rebecca to Becky. He actually shortens the name in the letters. So the idea here is that when it comes to business, okay, God will use your business for his glory, but it's also an opportunity to be able to connect with others. It's also an opportunity that you're able to not only share your experience being in business, but it's also an opportunity to share Christ with others. So you see, Lydia was a single woman. Now, you can be a single woman at age 20 or at 16 or at 10. You can, whatever your age, whatever your gender, wherever you are, you all can start a business, no matter where you are. So you have Lydia as a single widow, and here you have a husband and wife that are business owners that are able to connect with Paul and then become connected in the industry in sharing the gospel. So when you talk about Christian business people, the issue becomes is not only am I earning enough money to take care of myself and my family, but also am I earning enough that I can spread the gospel farther? Can I connect with others from other areas that I can have the opportunity to share the gospel with others? Can I influence other people? I mean, one of the things that you find with the rescue missions is that most people, if they're hungry, won't listen to the gospel until they have a full belly. So the idea is that when it comes to sharing the gospel is if you take care of if somebody's naked or is hungry, you take care of that immediate physical need and get them to the point that they're at least able to listen. Because when you're hungry, I know what it's been like. You're hungry. That's all you think about is I need to get the food. And so when that food is taken care of, you're being naked without, you know, or without a home or whatever, whenever that's been taken care of, now you're much more open to listen to what is happening. But it's also when you're able to share with that person that's in need, they have an affinity toward you to say, okay, I'm going to listen to this person, that the person helped me. So when we talk about, we're almost done here, but we're talking about business. Look at it from the standpoint of what I am able to do with my business, not only how my skills are in the business world, but also in a bigger context of what can I influence or who I can influence with it. Lydia was a widowed. Aquila and Priscilla, who are known now throughout all of Scripture, they became very well known and very influential in helping Paul in his ministry. So that's what you have to think about when you look at a business, at your business. It's not only taking care of yourself, not only taking care of your family and your immediate family, like brothers and sisters, etc., but it's also, how can I use my income to share the gospel and to influence others and to provide opportunities to further the gospel for God. So that's what you look at. And today, when you're looking at the scriptures and your business, going back to it again earlier, God creates, God created you. God created you for worship and to create work. God created you for worship and to create work and to serve others. God created you for worship and to create work and to serve others and to prosper. And God created for you to worship and to create work and to serve others and to prosper and to share. You're able to share your story. You're able to share your resources. You're able to share your life in furthering the gospels. And it comes back to 1 Corinthians 3:11-15, when it says that gold, silver, and precious stones and wood, hay, and stubble. When you do good, and that's what we read earlier in Timothy, to be rich in good works. When you do good works that glorify God, you get rewards in heaven. And those rewards are gold, silver, precious stones. When you do what God wills for your life, you get the gold, silver, precious stones. When you do things that glorify yourself, it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. It will be burned up. But those things that you do that please God will always be for eternity on display for everybody. We're just about done for the show today, and I hope you are getting the gist that being in business is an honorable thing. Being prosperous is honorable. Why? Because God uses money as a medium to influence the world. It's not the love of money, but money as a resource. Money is an opportunity to be able to use to further the gospel. Okay. We've talking here at Let's Talk Business in the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek Kevin Cullis, owner of MainStreetPreneur.com and author of How to Start a Business Mac Version. We're broadcasting from Christ the King World Radio, and you'll find us at worldmediaministries.org. I hope you've enjoyed this show. If you have any questions, go to LinkedIn and look up my name, or go to my website and email me. I'll be glad to ask or answer any questions that you might have regarding the Bible and business, and to get you thinking on how you can apply your talents and skills to glorify God. Have a good day, and we'll catch you next time.
Christ the King Radio is the internet broadcast outreach ministry of World Media Ministries, a 501c3 corporation, and Christ the King Radio Ministries. The goal of Christ the King Radio is to follow the command found in Mark 16:15, to go into all the world, preaching the good news to everyone, everywhere. Not just teaching about the power, glory, and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also to provide positive, encouraging information on how to promote and maintain healthy interpersonal relationships and business practices. At this time, Christ the King Radio needs not only your prayers, but your financial support. To help us continue to bring the light unto a dark world, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on either of our website, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. Your tax-deductible gift, no matter how small, will go a long way in helping us to continue to reach God's people and to promote the kingdom of God here on earth. Your gift is tax-deductible, and you will receive an electronic receipt when you donate via the links on one of our websites, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. On behalf of the staff and management, thanks again for listening to and supporting Christ the King Radio.
at ctkradio.org.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.